Make sure you tweet at our next guest. You can find him on Twitter at Jared R. Lloyd. He's a BYU beat writer for the Provo Daily Herald. It is Jared Lloyd. Jared, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jared.
Always a pleasure, guys. How you doing?
We're doing very well, Jared. Get us caught up a little bit on BYU camp. It opened up, obviously, just in the last couple of days here. Where's the optimism in this season as opposed to where it was last year? Obviously, Kalani's first season and Tanner Mangum and Ty Detmer coming in. I mean, people were so excited to have Taysom back. Is it a letdown this year, or is it kind of, hey, this is really the new beginning outside of the Taysom era?
I got to say there's more optimism this year, and I think a lot of that, some of that from last year, you're always dealing with a transition. You don't know how guys are going to necessarily fit in a new system with new coaches. What's the relationships going to be like? How are the pieces going to come together? So there was cautious optimism last year, and for good reason. Taysom Hill is dynamic. Jamal Williams is incredibly dynamic, you know, when he was healthy. And so there was good reason to be excited. But the sense I get this year, guys, is that BYU feels like they have more guys who can contribute just about across the board. I mean, you talk to just about everybody, and it's like, well, you know, we could go four deep at this position. We could go six deep across the board here. You know, we've got more linemen. We've got more linebackers. You know, a lot of these positions, they feel more and more confident in their depth. And you look at some of the teams they're playing, you know, you don't know how the things are going to shake out, but you've got to have the depth to be able to withstand, you know, three straight games against LSU, Utah, and Wisconsin. That's a very physical stretch of football, but they're excited just because they believe they have a lot of different guys who can contribute.
Jonah Trinneman was expected to play a big role at receiver last year, and he's going to be counted on even more this year. Sounds like he got banged up earlier in camp. What's the health status of Jonah Trinneman, and how's he been performing so far?
You know, he's made some plays. I don't know if they were going to rely as much on him as many people might have thought just because of his experience. You know, I know he got dinged up. I haven't heard the official report as far as what his status is. You know, he was walking around yesterday under his own power, so he wasn't, you know, wasn't a situation where he was completely immobilized. But he was around there. And, you know, I think that they're very optimistic about what a lot of the other guys can do as well, guys that maybe didn't see the field a ton in 2016 because they had other guys in position to make those plays. And so, you know, the wide receiving core, Micah Simon, Callan Shumway, Akile Davis, you know, a lot of those guys are going to be expected to make a lot of plays. And, you know, it's interesting because we asked Ty Detmer about it. And Detmer talked about, you know, going into his senior year, he'd lost a lot of his, you know, top receivers and people questioned it. And, you know, he just said, you find new ones and other guys step up. And he had guys that year like Eric Drage and some other guys that really, you know, kind of filled that void. And that's what he expects from this group. And so Jonah's one of those guys, but he's not the only one. They expect a lot of things from a lot of that group.
Jared Lloyd's our guest, ESPN 700. Jared, where do you go when you're replacing a guy like Jamal Williams, who's just, I mean, he's transcendent. There's no other way to talk about him at BYU. He might be the best running back they've ever had. Where do you start from replacing that type of production?
Well, I think what they're doing is the right way at the moment, and that's the sense that you give a lot of guys opportunities and see who's going to be a playmaker. You know, I don't know if you guys remember, but back when Jamal Williams was a really young freshman, he didn't initially come in and just start lighting it up, but midway through the season, he got a chance to make some plays. And I'll always remember that game at Georgia Tech when he went out and he was dynamic and made a lot of plays for the Cougars as they, you know, as they beat the Yellow Jackets out there. And all of a sudden it was like, wow, this freshman really is something special. And so right now they've got a lot of running backs that they're looking at. And, you know, Squally Canada is probably the guy that most people expect to be the starter, and for good reason. He can be dynamic. He showed some things last year. But I think they're looking at a lot of other guys as well. And, you know, it's about making the most of the opportunities. When you get a chance, when you, you know, see a hole, minimizing the mistakes, hit those holes hard, get the yards that you can, fall forward. You know, that's what being a running back's about. And so, you know, the guys that do are going to get more and more reps.
A couple of years ago, Bronco Mendenhall said the best pass rusher the best pass rusher was Sione Taki-Taki on the team. And then he got into some trouble there under Bronco Mendenhall. What's the status for Sione Taki-Taki? And is he maybe still BYU's best pass rusher?
Well, he's back with the team. And I can tell you, in just watching the team portion, and again, they're not going, you know, full contact. And so, you know, you don't know whether the tag sack would have been a sack, but Sione Takitaki spent a lot of time in the BYU backfield already, and he is dynamic. And one of the things that Kalani Sitake said about him yesterday was that he's further along in the run game defense than he expected him to be. So, you know, I think BYU fans have every reason to expect big things from Sione Takitaki this year. And I've always thought that Sione was one of those guys that is just so immensely talented that as long as he could be disciplined both on and off the field, because at times I felt like he got out of position, you know, when he was on the field before as well. So both on and off the field, if he can kind of, you know, get that maturity, get that discipline, watch out. This could be just, he could be a really big playmaker on that defensive front for the Cougars, and they need him. You know, they need to be disruptive. And, you know, with him on one side, Corbin Kaufusi on the other, that type of combo could be really hard for offenses to get comfortable.
Talking BYU football with Jared Lloyd. Jared, these are some of the, I mean, still young and a little bit inexperienced, but more highly recruited and higher ranked cornerbacks BYU's ever had. And they're both coming back as sophomores. What can you tell us about this cornerback group, and is this expected to really kind of be the future of what BYU's defenses look like?
I think this group is a big key. How much improvement have they made? Because if they've gotten better, if they've gotten a little bit better, BYU's defense is going to be pretty good. If they've gotten a lot better, that gives Elisa Tuiaki and the defensive staff a lot of options, because then you can rely on those guys to make plays, you know, be on an island, and that gives you some flexibility with the linebackers to do some different things. You know, you've got dynamic linebackers. So I really think that the cornerbacks could be the key of this for this team. And I'm going to watch them closely in the first couple of weeks and see how I, you know, think that they've developed. It's kind of hard to see in camp because, right now there's still a lot of center exchange problems. They're shuffling the quarterbacks like crazy. So it's kind of, it can be a little bit of a confusion issue. But why, keep an eye on those cornerbacks. I really like, Troy Warner, of course. You know, Diane Gunwaluku, now is another dynamic guy that came in and won a starting job. Those guys could be, if they've gotten as good as that first year to second year jump often is, that'll make a big difference for the BYU defense this year.
I heard Mo Longhi caused a solar eclipse the other day.
Oh, Mo Longhi, man. You should have seen the team when he knocked down a pass. That guy, he's really figuring out the game. He's got a lot to learn. I think Kalani Sitake said yesterday he's learned where the sideline is now. It's definitely a work in progress, but he's athletic, he's big, and the idea of just pointing him and say, okay, go that direction and see what happens, that's kind of what they did, and he knocked down a pass. And to watch him jumping around and have Corbin Kaufusi, you guys know how big Corbin Kaufusi is, and the fact that he, in his pads, he just dwarfs Corbin Kaufusi, he is a big guy, and he's surprisingly agile. So if he can figure out some things, and I think that they'll find some uses for him, and get him some experience, and I'm excited to see the growth of his potential is just so high if he can figure out the game. I am reminded of Ziggy Ansah, a very different type of player, that Ziggy had a lot to learn about the game. Mo Longhi does too, but the ceiling is just really high for a guy like Mo Longhi.
You can find him on Twitter at Jared R. Lloyd. Read him in the Provo Daily Herald. Jared, great stuff as always. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Jared.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great day.